Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C. This is Agriculture Today.
These are done monthly, as most of our listeners know. You can find them updated on agmanager.info. They were done right in the middle of December. Relevance to that is, you know, they can change a little bit from when they're posted, so keep that in mind. But that said, when we look for February through May in particular, closeouts, cattle becoming out of yards in those months, we're looking at $60 to maybe $150 positive returns, what the market was projecting there. That reflects several things.
Kansas State livestock economist Dr. Glenn Tonzer on opportunities for profits in 2022.
One is fed cattle price being projected above 140, low 140s. Cost of gain are well above 110 in those months, but that expected sales price is more than enough to offset it. So there's reason for optimism if you have cattle in the yard now, and they're going to be sold in those months.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I'm looking forward to hearing from the farmers, ranchers, and processors joining us today. We're going to ensure that you have the tools you need on a level playing field you deserve. And we're going to fight for fair prices for American farmers, ranchers, and families, all three.
President Joe Biden on Monday from the White House, it was a roundtable looking at a solution for the lack of transparency and rack space or capacity for packers. Now, Scott Blubaugh is president of the Oklahoma Farmers Union.
What will it do for me as a farmer and rancher and my membership here in Oklahoma and the American farmers and ranchers is if we are able to be able to process our animals on a more local level, we can retain more of that retail food dollar at our farm gates, in our farms and ranches, in our family operations, and in our rural communities. For too long, we have seen the multinational meat packers suck out all of the wealth of rural America and put it in their corporate coffers, and in some cases, even overseas. So we're excited about being able to have local processing done by local people and then sell directly to the consumer. You know, whether we can sell to the grocery stores, the restaurants, or the consumers directly, all of these will enable our rural communities to be lifted out of poverty. And we have a great poverty problem in rural America. So we're excited about that. In Oklahoma, I will tell you, $10 million of the first round of the CARES COVID money was actually allocated through our Oklahoma Department of Agriculture to fund some projects just as you're speaking of. So we had 196 applicants apply for that $10 million of CARES money. 40 applicants were chosen and were able to be funded with that money. And out of that, we had 19 new mom and pop small processors either open up for business here in our state, or they were able to upgrade an old facility to meet the new safety and health standards and be able to market that across state lines. We also have had great success working with our tribal neighbors here in Oklahoma, as many of our tribal organizations, their governments have put new processing online or are in the process of it, processing both their cattle and their buffalo, and their excess capacity that these new plants has created has also given our independent farmers and ranchers in the community an opportunity to get their cattle processed and marketed.
Now, this comes at a time when slaughter volumes are actually quite concerning in the supply chain for cattle and beef. Plants can't absorb the available supplies, and therefore the entire industry appears to be suffering, labor woes continuing to plague all plants, with volumes this week well short of expectations, down about 15,000 to 20,000 head. And it also comes at the same time that the total number of separations in the U.S. during the month of November hit an all-time high, 6.3 million workers. It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cottonseed from Americut. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
This is Agriculture Today.
For what's available to us here, I guess first we look at the board that was trading this past week.
Dr. Glenn Tonser is a Kansas State livestock economist on last week's trade.
Fed cattle, February is 140, more or less flat with the pre-Christmas trade. And then feeder cattle, the January contract's 167. And I'd say that was up almost $3, if I remember right. A little bit less to compare to on the cash side, but on cash fed cattle on December 30th, again, we didn't have trade on the 31st for holidays. So Thursday the 30th, AMS called the cattle 141. That'd be up $3 the week before. And then as you look across the Kansas auctions, there was limited volume this past week. So you can actually look back to just before Christmas. And that's still relevant to kind of give us a end-of-year peg on the cash market. Pratt on December 16th had a couple different lots sell I took notes of here. One was a bigger lot, weighing 776 pounds, 193. Another was a lot weighing 884, 159. I throw those out there because certainly the feeder cattle market and the fed cattle market ended the year stronger than they ended 2020. That's a little bit different than boxed beef story, particularly if you look within the year. So December 30th, USDA called choice beef, boxed beef it is, at 265. That's down about $2 on the week. And then select at 258, which was up nearly $5 on the week. The big difference between cattle and beef there is beef did end up a little bit at the end of the year compared to the year before, but not much. Conversely, cattle were up quite a bit more, and that reflects changes in supply, relative bottleneck easing, and so forth that developed throughout 2021.
Admits we saw improvement last year.
Economists are trained to describe everything from a supply-demand perspective, and that's where we start the discussion, and both those factors were more and more supportive as we progressed through 2021. So, on the supply side, we got closer to current, lots of discussion about the herd might be shrinking some. We weren't, you know, as flush with cattle, so to speak, as we progressed through the year. And similarly, demand remained strong. And I'll share some more of those numbers in a moment. But if you have strong demand coupled with improving in the sense that we weren't flush with cattle, so improving from price support perspective, both those factors helped cattle prices as 2021 concluded.
He does warn there could be a speed bump ahead.
Importantly, that's not necessarily the fed cattle price is tanking per se. We're still looking at upper 130s, maybe 140 for several months. Currently, my projections go out to August of 2022. And as you say, they get to break even, slight negative at that point. The biggest change is the projected placement price is notably higher. So there's a $21 higher price cattle going in the yard for August sales compared to those that would have been coming out this past November. So again, inner markets at work, feeder cattle market's been strong. That tends to catch up with these projected margins.
But at the end of the day, it's about beef demand.
So October USDA data-based indices, all fresh domestic beef demand was up 6% from September, and October 21 was up 8% from October 20. That's one nugget where I was saying we ended the year strong. I recognize October's not the end of the year, but we had a good tone going into the fourth quarter. October export demand for beef was basically flat with September, but the real story there is it was up 22% compared to the prior October. So October 21 was much stronger on export beef demand than October of 20. What we will have here in a couple days, as you alluded to, is December numbers from the Meat Demand Monitor. So data collection persisted through the holidays. You can look for probably middle to end of this week. I'll get those posted. They'll be USDA approved and up. It's worth watching that for sure. There's reason for optimism that there was strong demand going into the holiday season. But at the same time, we got to remind folks, it seems like there's an ever-increasing interest in the topic of inflation and ultimately what that might do to disposable incomes for consumers. So I'm optimistic that we ended the year collectively on the good demand front, but we'll have to wait and see what the final numbers are.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I update this slide monthly in the webinars, and Jim and Nathan can attest to the fact that every time I update this, 22 bar comes down a little bit. Why? Input costs keep increasing. And so as those input costs increase, unless prices increase with that, 22 doesn't look quite as good. Does that mean 22 is going to be a train wreck? No, not necessarily. 22 is just going to be closer to break even than what we saw in 20 and 21.
Purdue ag economist Michael Langemeyer on farm profitability.
This is showing some of that cost impact. We're seeing cost increases in fertilizer, pesticide, and seed. Seed is much more modest than the expected increases in herbicide, and herbicide and seed are much, much more modest than what we're seeing in fertilizer. This is using current fertilizer prices. And so, for example, anhydrous ammonia in this chart is at $14.35. That's the latest information from the Illinois production report from the USDA. But fertilizers, 80% higher. Fertilizer costs are 80% higher on corn compared to last March. And so just a very large increase there. Obviously, that's increasing the break even and making the margins much tighter in 22 than what they were in 2020 and 2021. And so even though prices are really strong, you look at prices in November soybeans, November 22 soybeans and December 22 corn. Those are good prices compared to the averages we've seen since 2007. These break-even prices are also really high compared to break-even prices since 2007 and really historically.
But looking specifically at those inputs, especially fertilizer in corn.
I've been looking at cost of production since 1990. This is really unusual. I don't even remember a year where it's even close to being the same. You had a year where it's actually identical or slightly higher. And let me talk a little bit about the importance of cash rent, because I'm going to talk about flex rent here in a little bit. Year in and year out, if you look at long run averages, cash rent tends to be the highest cost. For corn, it averages about 30% of total cost, whereas soybeans, it's closer to 40%. Because soybeans, you don't have the high nitrogen cost. And so it's really rare to see fertilizer cost is similar. In this case, 27% of the expected total cost for corn in 2022 is fertilizer alone. This is looking at the N rate calculator tool that's based out of Iowa State, but the data is collected from agronomists across the Corn Belt. And so this is based on Purdue Agronomy information. And what this shows you is as we get to these really high fertilizer prices, right now we're about 87 cents for anhydrous ammonia. But as we get to 80 cents and a dollar, notice what happens to the optimal N rate. The optimal N rate does come down 20 pounds, 25 pounds, 30 pounds from what we put on when we had 40 cent nitrogen. 40 cent nitrogen, it was actually similar to what we had last spring. And so, you know, when you have 40 cent nitrogen, you're going to put on that 192 pounds. You're going to put on quite a bit of nitrogen. As the price gets larger, you're probably going to put on less. And so keep this in mind. I encourage you to go to that website for N-rate calculator and calculate for your part of Indiana or from Illinois, your part of Illinois. And so we've got this for several Corn Belt states, because I think this is very important to keep in mind. We don't need that 192 pounds of nitrogen to get close to that 100% of that yield. Here we're dropping nitrogen quite a bit and only losing 2% of the yield. And you know, why are we willing to give up 2% of the yield? Well, I think it's obvious that cost just accelerates as you start putting on that 190 to 200 to 210 pounds of nitrogen. So take a look at that website.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, Tony, this was an opportunity for President Biden to visit with farmers directly and farm leaders to hear their concerns about the lack of competition and capacity in processing throughout the country and its impact on farm income.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, after a roundtable discussion on packer concentration.
The president's obviously very sympathetic to the concerns of producers who feel that right now processors are making record profits while producers who do a tremendous amount of work to produce the protein that we enjoy in this country are getting an ever-shrinking share of that food dollar. And the president was pleased to be able to announce a commitment of $1 billion in a variety of programs at USDA to be able to try to meet the demand for expanded capacity for more competition, forms of grants and loans to small, very small and mid-sized processing facilities that will increase capacity, increase competition, improve farm income, create jobs in rural communities, and frankly will also be beneficial to consumers because they'll now have a choice in the grocery stores. So a good day. Obviously, what we heard yesterday was what I've been hearing and what I'm sure you have been hearing for a number of years about the need for this relationship to be more balanced. And I think expanding capacity is one way to do that.
And when we break down the cost of actually adding capacity or hook space, if you will, when it comes to the cattle market and the beef market, it's extremely expensive. Vilsack understands that.
Well, there's no question, and that's why we established a variety of mechanisms to provide help and assistance. So for very small production facilities that are currently in business, we try to reduce the inspection fees so their operating costs were a little bit lower. For small and mid-sized operations that wanted to modernize their facility to be able to expand their operations so that they could market across state lines by having an inspection system that was equivalent to the federal system, we provided a series of modernization grants. For folks who are concerned about the ability to have cold storage or warehousing or mobile slaughter units or expanding existing processing facilities to add more space and more capacity, we created a loan guarantee program to make that banker a little bit feel a little bit easier about lending the money for an expansion project. And then for those who just need a little bit of help to get that project off the ground, we created a grant program. We anticipate and expect this spring to put out a request for proposal. We'll receive applications from folks who will want a portion of that grant money to finish a project, to get it over the finish line, if you will. And we look forward to hopefully maybe financing as many as 15 or so projects with that effort. Then there's a $225 million grant program that will be announced in the summer, and then a $275 million loan program that will create more affordable loan conditions and agreements for facilities that just need additional capital. So all of this is designed to help. And we're also addressing the other concern we hear, which is a workforce concern, being able to make sure that we've got enough well-educated, well-experienced and well-trained and experienced folks to work in these processing facilities. So we're putting money aside to assist in developing a workforce.
Finally, a look at the extended forecast. Brad Rippey with USDA.
We are looking at a relatively tranquil mid-month period with near to above normal temperatures and near or below normal precipitation across much of the country. Exceptions should include some colder than normal weather in the heavily populated northeastern U.S., along with some wetter than normal conditions in southern parts of Texas and Florida.
It's Agriculture Today. If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
You got to go back and look at 2021 and beyond to figure out where we're going in the future.
That's Brady Miller, Director of Marketing, Membership, and Education with the Texas Cattle Feeders Association.
In 2021, I think there was lots of high hope for 2021. We thought we were going to see the top of the cattle cycle at the end of 2020. With COVID occurring, it kind of spread that out and made that a longer tail than what we expected. So the top of the cattle cycle lasted into 2021. But if you look back at 2021, if you look back a year ago, we were trading fats at about 108 to 110. Now, if you come full circle or you come 12 months ahead, we are now today trading fats at about 140. Again, if you go back and look at cattle coming out of the feed yards, and that's what I'm calling fats, we were losing, and most of 2021, on a cash basis, the feed yards were selling animals in the red. Now, here for the last couple of months, we have probably been selling cattle on a cash basis in the black. So if you look back from 2021, coming full circle, coming full speed ahead to the first week of 2022, we went from losing most weeks to actually making some money now. So yes, 2021, look at it in the rearview mirror and happy that it occurred and is going to help us lead this thing forward, but sure glad that we're in 2022.
So what's been driving prices higher?
Supply is the driver in everything that we do. We have to have good demand. We have to have good consumer people eating our product for this thing to be sustainable and to move it forward. So domestically, I mean, every person in the U.S. on average is eating about 58 pounds of beef per year. And that is up from where it has been over the last 10 years. So demand has been super good domestically, but I'll also add in here that demand for the exports has been super good as well. We've been seeing lots of good numbers in exports, and we hope that continues. And I will mention the export number here because it plays a very important role in just how profitable the industry is in the U.S., is because in the export market, it brings about $350 per fed animal back to our animals. So without that $350, it would be very difficult for me to sit here and say that the industry was in a good place and that we are being profitable today.
And then there's exports.
You know, typically we talk about exports and why they're so important is because it's part of the animal that is not consumed in the U.S. and that the only way that you get value for those animals are to be able to export those animals. Now, one of the changes that is occurring in the export market, which I think is super important as well, is that we're starting to export more of what I call the middle meats, the high price cuts, which is important. Because we usually look at exports on a metric ton and how many tons did we export to a certain country. But I think today it's also super important to also look at not just metric tons, but also look at how many dollars are coming back. And that is a sign of more of the middle cuts and the high dollar cuts being exported outside of the U.S. And so that is starting to occur, and I think it's a good thing. And I think it's a sign of the U.S. cattle producer producing some of the best beef in the world. And the export and the consumers are paying dividends, and it's paying dividends for the producer producing that type of animal.
It's Agriculture Today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Take the guesswork out of preparing your cotton for harvest with NanoPro. Utilizing NanoPro's revolutionary nanoliquid technology, your harvest aids go to work faster and more efficiently, increasing leaf drop, reducing regrowth, and helping your cotton be ready when you are. Offering a 3-to-1 return on investment, you can't go wrong with NanoPro. Learn more or find your nearest dealer by calling Tracy Carrillo at 575-639-5110 or visit aquayield.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
USDA is anticipating a modest recovery in ethanol usage as the economy kind of recovers. We get back to driving more. If you look at what's taken place so far, though, in that next slide, the ethanol usage numbers actually suggest USDA's forecast might be a little too pessimistic.
Dr. Jim Mentert is the director of Purdue's Center for Commercial Agriculture and is breaking down ethanol demand.
So just a little bit of interpretation on this slide. These are the week-by-week comparisons of ethanol production compared not to last year, not to 2020, but rather to the pre-pandemic era, 2019. So I'm comparing 2021 to 2019. And, of course, those red bars indicate we were running well below 2019 levels. Look at the right-hand side, and you can see that we've had some pretty good increases with respect to ethanol production compared to 2019, compared to the pre-pandemic era. The last few weeks, we've backed off a little bit, but we're still averaging above the 2019 era. So as you think about it and think about maybe whether or not you want to be optimistic or pessimistic about where corn's going, ethanol is a plus. And I think one of the previous speakers pointed that out as well. Looking ahead, when USDA makes their next round of revisions in January, it would not be surprising to see them increase the ethanol production numbers, the number of bushels going into ethanol. That would pull down the corn carryover a little bit, and that's going to be one of the key issues. If you look at the next slide, which is the estimated margins at an ethanol plant, this is based on some data from Iowa State University. Those margins have been near record high. If you look at that $1.54 per gallon, that was a few weeks ago. But even the most recent data, and this slide is updated through last Friday, still over a dollar a gallon. So that suggests to me that ethanol production is going to continue to be very strong this winter. The only thing that would hold that back would be a pullback in terms of the economy, right? If we start pulling back, quit driving, the economy doesn't continue to open up as it has been. And obviously there are some concerns that could happen. But certainly the data so far is looking very good on the ethanol side and would suggest maybe more ethanol usage of corn than what USDA is projecting and maybe leading to a little tighter supply situation, a little tighter supply-demand balance than what USDA has been projecting.
Now moving from ethanol over to soybeans, what's the global situation?
It's a little bit like corn, although there is a distinction here. You don't have the one-country analogy concern with respect to a large inventory sitting in China. Again, though, as you look at those soybean carryover, 27% or so, down from that 33% when we had that big carryover, largely as a result of the pullback with and world trade as we have got engaged in the trade war with China. On a worldwide basis, one of the interesting things about soybeans has been the strength in soybean oil, which has really carried soybeans for quite some time. And then if you look at what's taken place recently, it's been the strength in soybean meal. And I know the previous speakers were talking a little bit about the soybean meal situation with respect to increasing demand for soybean meal because of a shortfall in lysine on a worldwide basis. That's likely to continue. So we're likely to continue to get some positive news on that front. And I look for meal to be relatively strong here going forward. So that could be an interesting situation that develops over time.
Purdue University's Dr. Jim Mentert. It's Agriculture Today.
Whether it's a weekend retreat, rich productive farmland, or green grazing pasture, land is a timeless investment. Capital Farm Credit, a member-owned lending cooperative, specializes in land financing with competitive rates and flexible terms. Our lending staff understands agriculture and country living and can assist you with land ownership. Let us finance your way of life. CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Ring in the new year with savings at South Plains Implement. Looking for a new ride? Get great deals and financing options across a wide selection of John Deere lawn equipment during the Winter Green Sales event. Have time to tackle repairs on harvest equipment? In-stock peanut and cotton harvest equipment parts 15% off. Ready to plow into planting season? South Plains Implement offering 15% off complete sets of tillage parts. Some restrictions apply. Offers end January 31st at South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
U.S. soybean production long-term has been trending higher on average year by year, but
the growth that we are getting from soybeans is mostly coming from yields,
not from more planted acreage. USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer says we don't have a lot of room to plant a whole lot more beans in this country. On the demand side, meanwhile, right now we're exporting a little less than half of our soybean production. But Meyer expects that even though there may be some growth in output over the next 10 years or so, the portion of our production going for exports could likely shrink a little bit. The reason?
We need that growth domestically. So I think longer term, we'll continue to export, but we may not see big increases in export volumes, as the increases in production we get, we're also going to largely need for our home market.
Now, for the U.S. crop just harvested compared to the year before, USDA projects production up 5%, domestic use up 3%, exports down 9%. Gary Crawford, Washington.